Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
When is a war a permanent occupation? The 16-year-old American adventure in Afghanistan is looking increasingly like Korea without a demilitarized zone. Everywhere there are possible enemy fighters and possible casualties, apparently. The Afghan military has suffered stunning setbacks. This past weekend, a Taliban raid on an Afghan military base killed approximately 170 Afghan recruits. This week, two American service members were killed and a third wounded in a counterinsurgency raid against not the Taliban, but ISIS in Nangarhar province. A Green Beret killed in Aachen earlier this month was the first U.S. casualty in quite some time, and that death became the rationale for the U.S. dropping its biggest non-nuclear bomb in Afghanistan. Carla de Gaulle is the North Africa correspondent for the New York Times and recently traveled to the country. She's author of The Wrong Enemy, America in Afghanistan, 2001 to 2014, and she joins me now. Carlotta, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Carlotta, I'm surprised that ISIS is part of the mission in Afghanistan. Does this represent some kind of mission creep, or has it always been the case?
It's an expansion and a morphing of the same old problem. This is a Taliban group, a Pakistani Taliban group that's now taken up the flag of ISIS. They've had connections with Syria and they've got money from them, but they're really doing it to just be the biggest, baddest group in the region. And it's a progression of the same problem we've had, as you say, for 16 years in Afghanistan.
So this 800 or so militants may have been or probably were Taliban, you say, and they just got a ISIS membership card, picked up a flag, and all of a sudden the mission seems to shift in Afghanistan and we're dropping huge non-nuclear bombs.
Well, the big bomb is proof that they're still there. We've still got this persistent problem. And the bomb was used to try and save lives because the American Special Forces and Afghan Special Forces trying to remove this group were coming up against real resistance. They were dug into caves and tunnels in the hillside. And so that bomb was used as the most effective way to save lives and to eliminate this group. We then had two more casualties, which shows that there's still others there and it's still a very tough fight. It just shows you how difficult it is and how persistent the problem is.
And in this particular case, the raid this week that killed two American service members, what kind of tactics were seen there and are they fundamentally different than anything we've seen in the last 16 years?
I think it's the same as certainly a lot of us have seen. You know, they're perhaps more ruthless, ISIS, because they want to get the headlines. But they're essentially guerrilla forces that are fighting, but to a very high level because they're fighting special forces. They're using the terrain. They're using, you know, weapon systems. We are hearing they're getting more and more sophisticated things like night vision and increasingly more sophisticated explosives. But in the end, they're doing what they've always been doing, which is ambushing and trying to kill Americans to show that they're still there and they're still strong.
The dropping of the MOAB, non-nuclear bomb, earlier this month was condemned by former President Karzai. What does the Afghan government say about the state of fighting right now and the vulnerability, apparently, of Afghan forces who suffered this huge setback of 170 recruits killed earlier this week, actually over the weekend?
Well, it's interesting. I was in Afghanistan when that bomb was dropped, and I was in one of the provinces with officials from the Ghani government who've been fighting the Taliban for 16 years. They actually were relieved to have this bomb. They felt it showed that America was still engaged. It gave morale to the Afghan forces that they've still got American support in a big way. And so, of course, from the government side, although President Karzai criticized it, and it was shocking to many because of its size and the fact that you're still 16 years later throwing really huge bombs on those mountains, because, of course, that's where bin Laden was for his last stand and where the daisy cutter bombs were dropped in 2001. So there was shock and horror, but actually there was some relief in certainly the people who are with the government and the security forces, because they felt this shows that America is still serious and is still on our side.
Carla de Gaulle, does that relief translate into an expectation that the Trump administration is going to enlarge the mission in Afghanistan and give us many more years and a lot more fighting against Taliban and now ISIS?
I think there's great concern in Afghanistan as to what the Trump administration is going to do. We know they were there recently. Officials are doing a review. And I think, of course, the Afghans are worried that this is just a one-off. They then had, obviously, the devastating attack on their base, as you mentioned, in the north, where they lost nearly 200 people. So I think there's a concern that, was it just a show? There's also this sneaking feeling among the Afghans that sort of bomb shows the Americans have got the wherewithal. They could do it, but why don't they come in and do it properly, do it skillfully with the pressure on Pakistan as well and the diplomacy that's needed as well as the firepower. So I think there's great concerns that another administration is not going to go the whole way or get it right, the right balance. Of course, Afghans don't want more bombs that kill more people. They want a solution that ends the war as well.
Carla de Gaulle is North Africa correspondent for The New York Times and author of The Wrong Enemy, American Afghanistan, 2001 to 2014. Carla, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.